Good evening, everybody. The recording has started. Shmuel Plotzer coming at you live from Gulf Manor Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Delighted to be with you. Yesterday, those of you who were with us, 17,000 strong, I heard from our people in Chicago, Jake told me, 17,000 were with us as we finished Sefer Einah Bonim Smecha, which was done over the course of 3 years or so. We did it every single week, an hour or so a week. Thank God. It was a great, great feeling of accomplishment. We all learned so much Torah from Rabbi Teichtal, Hashem Yikom Damav, may his neshama have an aliyah. And we learned that sefer in memory of my father, whose yahrzeit is today. I think it still is. Hey Ba'adar, the fifth day of Adar until sunset. Right now it's 7:30 or so. And I think the sun is still up, at least another couple minutes. So let's get crafting and we'll learn Torah. And we'll dedicate tonight's shir in his memory. So the Neshama Shir Amin Aliyah, and we did the Sefer yesterday, finished that up in the afternoon in anticipation of his yard site, which was that evening last night. So let's get right to it. If you have 1 Kings chapter 9, you know that last week we did about 2 psukim or so, maybe even 3. But tonight we're going to start off with Pasuk Gimel. We'll do a little review of let me just read the first 2 psukim in English, and then we'll go right into the Hebrew of verse 3. So chapter 9, if you've got it, good. If not, I'll read it. Chapter 9, verse 1 in English. So it was when Shlomo had finished building the temple of God and the king's palace and all Shlomo's desires that he wished to make. Verse 2, God appeared to Shlomo a second time as he, God, had appeared to Shlomo in Gibeon. And we spent a lot of time on those 2 psukim. So hopefully listen to last week's shiur if you can get your hands on it. Verse 3, here we are. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Hashem Elav. I think we did some of this last week. We'll do it again. Vayomer Hashem Elav. Hashem said to Shlomo, Shamati, I have heard, as tfilascha, your prayer, as tchinascha, and your supplication, asher yizchananta lefanai, which you petitioned or supplicated before me, hikdashti es habayis hazeh, I, God, have consecrated, I've made holy, I've made sacred this house, Asher Barnisa, which you built, God is saying to Shlomo, you built the house, I'm making it holy. Lasum Shemi Sham, you built the house, Asher Barnisa, Lasum Shemi Sham, Adolam, so as to place my name there forever. That's why you built the temple, so that there should be a place for God's presence to be forever and ever in the world, specifically in Israel, specifically in Jerusalem, and specifically for Klal Yisrael. Now we're going to unpack a little bit of this as we go, but let me just finish it up. So my eyes and my heart will be there all the days. Kol hayamim, all the days. Lasum shmi, remember what it said earlier, lasum shmi sham ad olam, to be a place to put my name forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there, kol hayamim, all the days. Now, I think we said last week that when the Almighty, who is, eternal, when he says words like, forever, and kol hayamim, all the days, well, I don't know about you, but it sure sounds like here's somebody who can actually deliver on that. I mean, if anybody can deliver on terms like ad olam, forever, and the kol hayamim, all the days, literally all the days, well, if anybody can do that, it's God. And God is saying, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be there all the days. So then how do you understand 2 destructions of the temple? What happened to the holy presence of God? So last week, you remember, we went into a long discussion of the Rambam on Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and the Rambam was of the opinion that, yeah, obviously you have to be careful where you walk, you're not supposed to go up on the Har HaBayit, but also an important idea is that the holiness of the place is l'shata, kedusha rishona. The holiness of the first temple was Kedusha L'Shata, was a holiness for its time, for that time in history, during its 400 plus years of existence. The Kedusha L'Asit, and also a future forever into the future. A sanctity and a holiness, Kedusha, la'asit, into the future. And he quotes down the Maharsha. I have not just an article Gemara in front of me, and not just a Judaic English translation of the Tanakh, also a beautiful Sefer called Sefer Melachim Aleph Torah Shebaal Peh, put together by Rabbi Menachem Zev Stern, where he collects all the Chazalim, all the Talmudim, all the Midrashim, Zohars, Mamre Chazal, Memres, and everything that he can get his hands on that discuss that particular pasuk in Scripture, and he puts it all out there. And you know what? It's the most amazing book because it is a safer Tanakh, and instead of, well, it does have, it has Rashi and the Mitzvahs. But that's it for the contemporary, if you will, commentators. Everything else is, he's quoting down, you know, Gemaras. He's got his own Pirish, Remez Gemalva, and he's got the Torah Shebaal Peh. He's quoting down a Zohar here and a Gemara there. And so without further ado, we just translated the Pasuk. So now we can start, dealing with it. So let's start doing that. Let's see what he has on Vayu Einai, and this really truly is of great interest to the rabbis of antiquity. What does God mean when God says the magic words, my eyes will be, and my heart will be there in your temple, O Solomon, kol hayamim, all the days. Well, what does that mean? So let's see a Gemara in Yevamos. Brings down a Gemara in Yevamos. Lucky for me and lucky for you, I've got the article translation. This man's all over Shas, and it's difficult to jog with him. You got to be able to have a translation so you can at least read it and make some sense out of it and the interpretation. And okay, I mean, I'm not an anti-art scroll guy when it comes to utilizing the translation. I'm a Chappelle's alumnus, so we looked askance at translations. But you know what? When you're in a pinch and there's a good translation and they bring down all kinds of great stuff, stop looking askance at it and start using it. Here we go. Gemara Yevamos in the Babli, and it's Kuf Hei Amud Beis. Now, I'm not going to get into the Shakla Vitaria, the underlying or preceding discussion of the Talmud. I just, you know, there's just no time. You want to study Talmud, go do that. Maybe one day we'll have a Talmud class over the phone. But that's not this. This is a Tanakh class. But we're going to bring in this Gemara Yevamos 105b. Okay, here we go. Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Havu Yasfe. Because in the previous discussion was Rabbi Yossi holds that the chalitza of a minor girl is valid. Okay. But this is really what we're here for. Listen to this. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi were sitting together. Pasachad minayu v'amar. One of them opened up the discussion and he said as follows, Hamispalel tzorach sheyitein ein of lamata. Somebody who prays must direct his eyes downward toward the land of Israel. Now we're going to see the footnote. So footnote 7. What does that mean? Footnote 7. That is to say, he should keep his eyes directed toward the earth rather than direct them toward the heavens. But this does not mean that he should literally look down at the ground. Quoting the Riaf, is that a typo? I apologize. I mean, is it the Rif and the letter A fell in there? I mean, who is the Riaf? You got to forgive me. At all events, he should keep his eyes directed toward the earth, not directed toward the heaven. Doesn't mean that he should literally look down at the ground, but rather it should be in his mind. He's looking at the ground. And we continue in the footnote. This discussion concerns prayer after the destruction of the Holy Temple. Obviously, these rabbis are living after Churban Bayis Sheni. Second Temple was destroyed. Now the rabbis come on the scene and they're discussing. Everyone holds that when the temple stood, prayers were directed there. Prayers were directed towards the temple. This view holds that even after the destruction, the divine presence remains in the land of Israel. and prayers should still be directed toward the land of Israel. So says the Maharsha. And we're told, see the Chiddushei Maharal and the Keren Ora for other approaches to this Gemara. But we're going to go with the Maharsha. Everyone holds that when the Beis HaMikdash stood, prayers were directed there. People prayed in the Beis HaMikdash. They davened towards the Beis HaMikdash. And even though it's been destroyed, it doesn't matter. Jewish people keep on praying towards Jerusalem. And Rabbi Balk, Rabbi Emeritus here at Gulf Manor Synagogue, taught us here in the shul that prior to, and I never knew this, and I think you should know it and incorporate this into your life. Rabbi Balk taught, and who he was quoting, I just don't remember, that when you're about to begin your Shmoneh Esrei, here's what you got to think about. You, no matter where you are directing your thoughts towards Israel. That's number one. Excuse me, exactly as this Gemara and as this footnote is telling us, you direct your prayers toward the land of Israel. I'm not done yet. Then once you have focused yourself and you are effectively in your mind, you're now in Israel, that's kind of what we should be doing, placing oneself in the land of Israel, you're not done. Now you got to start facing towards Jerusalem. Now you got to put yourself mentally in the holy city. Thank God I spent 2.5 years in Yerushalayim, so I should have theoretically no problems doing this. And yet still, you know, you got to make sure you focus. You can't just, you got to just take it slow. And I have to remember to do this. Focus in. You're now in Israel. You're landing in Israel. Okay, now you're in Lod. You're in the airport, Ben-Gurion in Lod. Okay, here we go. Now you are driving towards Jerusalem. It's a 35-minute winding road. Okay, now you are entering the city of Jerusalem. It says, Baruchim Abom Yerushalayim, if I recall back in the day, on the major kish over there on the way to Yerushalayim. You'd see it on the bus coming in from Tel Aviv. And you'd see it on the in your monit. So now you're entering in Yerushalayim, and along the way you saw the remotes here and the remotes there, the eggshell crate houses, and Remote Aleph, Gimel, Beis, and Gimel, etc., etc. And now you're entering into Yerushalayim, and now you're getting where you need to go. You are slowly now, imagine you're getting on the number 3 bus. Is it still going? And you head towards the old city. Okay, it's like a spiritual Disneyland. Over here you see the Har HaZeisim, Mount of Olives. Over there you see the Kotel. Here you see the Dome of the Rock on top of the near the on top of the Har HaBayit. And then there are some churches over here. I mean, I feel funny saying Batei Avodah Zarah by name, but I'm a nut. I know the names because that's the nut that I am. So you see this and that and this, and then you see Yad Chizkiyahu. All in the distance, you say, man, this is like, you know, it's like better than Orlando. I mean, like, you know, this is like, you know, it's like ground zero for the 3 great monotheistic faiths of the West. It just really is an amazing bus ride. Okay, now you're entering the Kotel area, but you're entering sort of like the old city area. Great. Now you're entering towards, okay, now you're in Yerushalayim. Now you've got to focus in. Now you're putting yourself into the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine yourself in the Holy Temple. Not that one of us has ever actually been there, but we're trying, okay? And as you walk towards the Kotel, you can see the Har HaBayit a little bit. You can see the Dome of the Rock. Again, there's another mosque over there. May they be uprooted soon. Rebuild Beis HaMikdash. We learn the Sefer Eimavam Smecha. We're going to have a rebuild Beis HaMikdash, and 40 years later, Mashiach comes. I thought Mashiach can come any second. I mean, I don't really know who's in charge over here, because all my life I thought Mashiach, we're waiting on Mashiach, waiting on Mashiach, is going to come any second. Like, wait, first we got to get the Muslims to remove the Dome of the Rock. That's going to be a pretty big nace in and of itself. Big miracle. Getting rid of the Dome of the Rock. Then you got to wait for Mashiach 40 years. I mean, let's all hope we should live so long. Okay, then you're in the Har HaBayit. Now you got to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the Holy of Holies. And now, only now, are you ready? Now you are ready to enter in your mind. Now you're ready to begin your prayer of Shmoneh Esrei, because you have put yourself into Israel. Then you got yourself into Jerusalem. Then you got yourself into the Temple Mount. Now you're in the Holy of Holies. Okay, now you pray to God, your Shemona Esrei, because now you're in the Holy of Holies. And that's what Rebbe taught us, and I'm telling you, I know there was a tremendous gewaltige Sach to be able to situate oneself in the Holy of Holies as you're about to begin the Shemona Esrei. And I'm very grateful to him for teaching me that, and I try my best to always keep that in front of me as I'm about to begin my private standing Amidah. And I recommend you do the same. You're putting yourself into Israel, then you're facing, and now you're in. Do more than just face Jerusalem. Get into Jerusalem in your mind, then get into the Temple Mount in your mind, then get into the Holy of Holies in your mind, and now you're facing God. Wow. I mean, that really, and you know what? There's nothing better. There's nothing better than that. You're now in the Holy of Holies, and you're talking to Hashem. That's exactly where you want to be. And who can ever be in the Holy of Holies? Well, in your mind you can be. So, again, we saw verse 3 just now, where Hashem says his eyes and his heart will be on the Temple Mount, in the temple forever. Ad Olam. Kol Hayamim. These are the phrases that come up in verse 3. Ad Olam, forever, and Kol Hayamim. And Mrs. Brewer, we welcome her. You know, let's face facts. As I said a moment ago to the class, the international class, if any being on earth could say words like Kol Hayamim, all the days, Ad Olam, forever and ever, and mean it, well, that's God. Because God can make that happen. I can't, but God can. So I take him seriously. So the rabbis have a question. So what happened? You have a Chorban Bayis, Rishon, and Sheni. So what's going to be? How do you make sense out of that? So the answer the rabbis give, as we said last week, for those of you who are here, and I said it a moment ago, that we saw the Sefer over here, Sefer Torah Shabbat Peh, Malachim, quoting the Maharsha, that Hashem placed Kedusha Rishon, is Kutcha L'Shata and Kutcha L'Asit. It is holiness for then and holiness forever and ever. There was never a moment from the time of the building of the completion and the dedication of the temple, that holiness that the Almighty gave to the temple never left. It was Kutcha L'Shata and Kutcha L'Asit. So that applies both for that temple and forever and ever. And now, we'll see the Gemara in Yevamos over here and see what, if anything, we can get from this. As we said a moment ago, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, we're sitting together, Gemara and Yevamos, Kuf Hei Amid Beis. One of them opened up the discussion, and he said, Hamas Palel Tzarech Shitein Eina B'mata. Somebody who prays must direct his eyes downward towards Israel. And we said a moment ago, he should keep his eyes directed toward the earth, not direct them toward the heavens. But that doesn't mean that he should literally look down at the ground. And, or further, the Maharsha says, as we said a second ago, nothing wrong with review, this discussion concerns prayer after the Churban Bayit. Everybody holds that when the Beis HaMikdash stood, prayers were directed there. This view holds that even after the Churban, the Shechina remains in the land of Israel, and tefillah should still be directed towards Eretz Yisrael. See the Maharsha. So we continue. One who prays must direct his eyes downward towards Eretz Yisrael. Shneim, like it says, V'hayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. It's in our pasuk over here that we're looking at. My eyes and my heart will be there all the days. In chapter 3. I'm sorry, verse 3 of chapter 9. This verse teaches that the Shechina, that is to say, the eyes and the heart of God, that's in brackets here in the art scroll, the divine presence, the eyes and heart of God, is located in Eretz Yisrael. So says Rashi. Since it states Kol Hayamim, all the days, it indicates that even when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, Hashem's presence remains there. Quoting the Maharsha again. Good. So we're getting somewhere. Hashem says his eyes, his heart are going to be there, Kol Hayamim. That means that Hashem's Shechina is there forever and ever. And one who davens should direct his eyes towards Eretz Yisrael. the charama and downwards towards the ground, and not towards the heavens, but towards the ground.
It represents what, the Beit HaMikdash or
the land of Israel? That's what we're told. That's what we're told. We're told over here, directed toward the earth, not towards the heavens. Doesn't mean that you should literally look at the ground, but in his mind. That's why we quoted Reb Balk, who said, go in your mind before Shemoneh Esrei towards Eretz Yisrael, then Yerushalayim, then the Har HaBayit, then the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now you're ready to daven Shemoneh Esrei. I think it's applicable here too. So this is the Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe disagreement, if you will, here in Gemara Yevamos. We continue. One said, you pray eyes downward. An article says that means towards Eretz Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, Hashem says, my eyes and my heart shall be there all the days. So pray towards there. The Chadama, the other one said, Einav Lamala, somebody who davens should direct his eyes upward towards heaven. Footnote time. According to this view, after the Churban Bayit, the divine presence left that location. One should therefore direct his eyes heavenward. Also quoting the Maharsha. So we have, he's trying to make some sense. I mean, he's allowed to, you know, comment on both. So it's not like he's, internally contradicting himself, whatever. But he's explaining, although it's kind of, he's explaining that now that there's been a Churban over there twice over, so now the Shekhinah has left, and now focus in on, face Shemayim. Put your eyes towards Hashem up in heaven, because that's where Hashem is, up in heaven. And there's been a loss of the Shekhinah here on earth. So what do you make of the Kutchel L'Shaka and Kutchel L'Asid? How does that Rav understand this idea? I guess he rejects it. Let's see where he goes with this. Pray with your eyes Lamala, towards heaven. Shenema, like it says, Pasuk, where in Echa Nisa Levavenu El Kapayim. Let us lift our hearts with our hands to Hashem in heaven. Elavinu Shebashamayim. I imagine the pasuk continues on, but they're only going to quoting over here the first four words. Nisal Levavenu El Kapayim. Let us lift our hearts with our hands. That's what's quoted, and the rest is to Hashem in heaven. A pasuk in Eicha chapter 3, verse 41. Again, the Marsha. This pasuk was written after Churban Bayit Rishon and teaches that at that time one's prayers should be directed toward heaven.
Right, it's Eicha, yeah?
Yeah, Eicha. That's what I have over here. Right. Pasuk in Eicha, written by Yirmiyah, right after Churban Bayit Rishon. What do we learn from this pasuk? Let us lift our hearts with our hands to God in heaven. And what do you want? It tells you, face the Almighty, lift up yourself, your eyes, your heart, your hands, lift everything up, face the Almighty heavenward. Pasuk in Eicha teaches that at that time, Churban Bayis time, one's prayer should be directed towards heaven. Okay. Adhachi Asa Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi l'Gabayu. So along the way, in the meantime, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, came over to them. Amalo, he said to them, he asked them, B'mayas Kisu, what are you guys learning? What are you dealing with? What's up? What's the union you're dealing with today? Amrule, they said to him, B'tfila, we're discussing prayer. Amalo, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, said to them, Kach Amar Abba. This is what my father, Rabbi Yossi, said. Hamispalel, one who davens, tzarech sheyiten einav lamata, velibo lamala. Somebody who davens should direct his eyes downward, lamata, put his eyes downward, velibo lamala, and his heart should be upward. What does that mean? I mean, I can translate, but what does it mean? So footnote 11, he should, quote, direct his heart upward. Well, how? by banishing from his heart all physical pleasure, and by imagining that he is in the heavens. I'm reading an Art Scroll footnote, footnote number 11, on this Amud. He should banish from his heart all physical pleasure, and by imagining that he's in Shemayim. Then what? Then he should, quote, direct his eyes downward, end quote, by imagining that he is standing in the Beis HaMikdash. In this manner, his prayer will be well received by God. And the quote, the citation is to Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, to Brachas, and also see the Aruch Vaner. So, what an interesting thing. Direct your heart upward, imagine you're in Shemayim, then direct your eyes downward, and imagine you're in the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, that's really something. I mean, I just think it's something. I mean, here I am on earth. Why can't I just simply, kind of like just, I don't know, kind of, wait, what do you say? Yeah, just pray to God. I mean, that's a little bit too easy. It's a little bit too easy to say. We don't want to just do things easily. We want you to go up to heaven in your mind. But now you're in Shemayim, now face downward and think that you're in Beis HaMikdash. Wow, that's really something. It just is. Rabbi Berloff, go ahead. What do you got?
When I have come across statements like this, let me do this, or perhaps the exact one, I always assumed that what it was telling us was to have the a balance of humility, of extreme humility in front of Hashem, to balance that with, you know, spiritual aspirations. We were aiming towards heaven, we're talking to Hashem, obviously we're talking to so-called heaven, but also we are trying to aspire to bring ourselves to greater spiritual heights. And at the same time, we do it while we recognize our limitations. So for that reason, your eyes are downward while your spirit is upward. That's how I took it.
Your eyes are downward and your spirit is upward.
Right. You have to be mindful, remain humbled while aspiring to a greater height spiritually. You're at the Roman Muslim and other things that go along with that.
You're a bit too of a rationalist for us, isn't that right? I mean, let's get mystical.
Now, wait, maybe you're more rational. I mean, maybe because you're talking about the actual places. No, the Beis HaMikdash is what is represented by the earth, and what's represented by the Shemayim, whatever.
Imagine you're in. Imagine you're in Shemayim, now imagine you're in the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, it's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of travel time in your head. But why are we doing all that? Why are we doing all that? I'm just going to ask you a thought. Why are we doing all that? It says the Gemara, Kadeshi is Kaimu Shneim across Halalu. So that the implication of both of these psukim will be fulfilled. Both will be fulfilled. That what? That the Ein Hashem and the Lev of Hashem are up in there in the Beis HaMikdash. And how are we going to fulfill? We're going to fulfill our pasuk, and we're going to fulfill the pasuk in Eicha, Tzamen, at the same time. And let's see the footnote. Footnote number 12, Rabbi Yossi held that most of the Shechina did leave. Yes, indeed. It did leave after the temple was destroyed. Therefore, one's thoughts, one's machshavos must be directed towards heaven. However, some Shechina remains even now in fulfillment of the Pasuk, Kol HaYomim, all the days. One's eyes should therefore still be directed toward the land of Israel. So says the Maharsha. He gets pride of place. He's truly being quoted here nonstop. Baruch Hashem, it's good. See the Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim 95.2. With commentaries for practical ramifications of this Gemara. How do we bring this Gemara to life? Well, so that is how, that's Rabbi Yossi's approach, as explained by his son Rabbi Shmuel. You pray, you direct your eyes heaven downward toward the land of Israel, and your heart is lifted upward, and this way you're fulfilling both psukim. Okay, the rest of it is not exactly related to us, so we'll leave that, and we'll get right back in to our study. Any thoughts, Mrs. Brother? What do you got?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my eyes and my heart shall be there at all times. We say that even without the Beis HaMikdash, that we say that Hashem always directs His eyes towards Eretz Yisrael to take care of Eretz Yisrael.
The eyes of the Almighty are upon the land from the beginning to the end.
Right, so that would be
fulfilling this.
Right.
So we should always be facing the land of Israel. Right. Okay. Good. Was that an interesting Gemara or what? Great little sefer. We have this sefer of a set right up there, and I said, you know what? It's sitting there all forlornly, and we should be using it if we can.
Right.
See some Gemaras on these psukim. Why not? I mean, nothing wrong with, you know, nothing was really shown him. But, I mean, it's fascinating to be able to see some Gemaras and some Midrashim, and he brings down a Zohar Amal. I think it's really great. So, thank God. Interesting Gemara in Yevamos. Hopefully it was good, and the people enjoyed that. So there's your third pasuk over here. Let's see, do some of the footnotes, and we'll talk them out. Perek Tes, Perek chapter 9, and we are doing verse 3. Okay? So, you know, we have the Judaic, and my eyes and my heart shall be there at all times. Bottom of page 104, if you have it. And according Rashi, Yonason, Red Tugin Yonason says, and my Shechina shall dwell there if my will is done. And my eyes and my heart shall be there if my heart and my will are there. Quoting Rashi.
What does that mean? They'll be there if they're there.
Let's see.
Wait a minute. First of all, you make if someone says this is an error. Rashi, look at Rashi. If you start with the text, the whole you and I will be, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Rashi says, Targum Yonah said the following. I'll read it from the Yonah said itself, I'll get the vowels right. Ushei Shrinti Sharya Bey. And let my Shekhinah be residing there if my will be done. That is the end of the quote of the Yonason. And Rashi on his own wants to tell you what Yonason means. And he says, my eyes will be there, or maybe let my eyes be there if my heart and will be there. I'm not sure who's, you know, if Hashem is still talking or not, but it's not one long running thing that we just read. No. Oh, Yonason. It's Yonason and Rashi's exposition of Yonason. So, yes.
Right, but I don't understand Rashi's exposition is my point. My eyes and my heart shall be there if my heart and my will are there.
I don't either. My what?
My heart will be there if my heart will be there.
No, my eyes will be there, he says. Yehei einai sham. Yehei einai sham, let my eyes be there. If my heart, imli be, v'chetzi, my heart and desire will be there.
Okay, Rabbi Burlap has a...
Do you have a different hearsay? You were reading the Rashi?
For the Rashi, for the words to be explicated. Ours in bold is you a neither libi sham.
Oh,
that's what's troubling.
Oh, that's what you're bothering about.
Yeah.
Did you have the same Rashi that I read? Again,
im libi sham.
Oh, you a nai. There was Rashi the way he understands the Yonason, and my eyes. I guess the sham goes on both those body parts.
Yeah.
And my eyes will be there. It's like, you know, it's parentheses, mathematics says, eyes will be there if, but only if, I don't know what it means, libi v'chepsi. Yeah, that is a good question.
Because see, what we have here is you enivali be.
You mean in the pasuk? You mean
in the Rashi per se?
Yeah, but that's a pasuk.
Yeah. Right. And you don't have that.
Yeah, I do. Sure, I do. Or you see, so Rashi is explicating some way that the pasuk really means that my eyes will be there. Mm-hmm. On condition. Now, there's a libi is already part of the predicate, in a sense. And not part of the if clause. And once I forget those fancy hypotheses and all that stuff. In other words, my eyes will be there if, on condition, he's just breaking it up. Not, I didn't take an I believe me together. My eyes will be there, skipping to the word there. On condition that my heart and desire will be there. So I don't understand what that means anyway. I think he means heart and desire, that people, that means that people will follow,
right,
Hashem's heart, what was their heart or something. Yeah, that it's a problem. It is a problem. But the problem is, what does it mean? Imre Usi, okay, I think so. Targum's Shechinti. My Shechina looks, it looks like the Targum is touching up a nine, my eyes meeting my Shechina. And he's touching up Libi, my heart, meaning my will. And Rashi kind of puts in Hefsi, I think that maybe to kind of help along what my heart means, my will means. That was the, that people will want to do what Hashem wants, so that is the Libi. And then, in that case, Einai, my eyes, meaning my Shechina, will be there. Which, of course, Yonason also is Mariach. He also gains that by doing that, that he takes away the anthropomorphic instructions, which both Targumim normally do. And so Einai, my eyes, is actually my Shechina. And my heart is my will. And Rashi sort of throws in, I don't know, maybe Rashi's bothered with the stretch between my heart and my will, my heart of the pasuk, and my will, which seems to be the Targum's understanding of my heart.
Well, this,
and Rashi smooths it over, my this, heart and will.
This actually explicates Rashi.
Okay. But thank you, Rabbi Rilov, Mr. Rilov, both of you for that, because those words, obviously, I mean, those are going above and beyond a little translation of the pasuk. They really are adding so much more. If imreusi misabdur tamon kol yamaya, okay, shchinti sharyabe, imreusi misabdur tamon kol yamaya. My shchina will remain there if my desire, if my will is done there all the days. Well, yeah, he's wiped out einayim and Lave, as Rabbi Rilov said, we're getting rid of the anthropomorphic phraseology, which was very problematic for the Targumim. Rashi apparently explains Einai, my eyes, as my providence. He explains Libi, my heart, as Hachafeshali, my desire, my will, the chavetz. He therefore explains the passage to mean that my providence will be in the temple if my will is being followed there. So my providence has got to mean his shechina, and his heart means his desire, his will. So my shechina will be in the Beis Hamikdash if my will is being executed there in the Beis Hamikdash.
I'm bothered by this. Because Hashem is saying, it will be there forever. That does not sound like a conditional statement.
Hmm. What an interesting point. Mrs. Berlev is saying that the pasuk seems on its face to be unconditional. Hashem is saying, I'm going to be there forever. L'sum shmi sham ad olam, and my eyes and my heart sham will be there, hayusham, kol yamim, all the days. And suddenly we've got this wrench thrown in. Ah, there's a Tanai. Hashem's providence will be there. His Shekhinah will only be there if we behave ourselves. But we don't see that necessarily in the words of Hashem. Hashem is speaking and says, I'm going to be there forever and ever. What an interesting point. I don't see the Tanai either coming up so clearly in the Pasuk, such that the Targum should have that. Now that I find really interesting, and I want to thank you for pointing that out. I don't have a good enough answer at the moment.
What was that?
There's no conditional language in the pasuk. Hashem seems to just be laying it out. I'm going to be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there, kolei yamim, all the days. And there's no notion of,
it all depends upon
your good behavior. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. I'm going to be there
very
forever.
Much so, very much true.
Very good. Thank you. No answer.
What else is new?
Right, what else is new? But,
you know what? Maybe there's an answer.
Yeah,
you know, the Hemshah. The following psukim that we haven't discussed yet, at least not tonight, where it continues, I'll just summarize the Apostle Ballad. It says, and if you do everything, you go out of my ways and so on.
Yeah, but that's perfect.
And then wait a minute. And then the five, and then this is the, well, then and only then I will establish. So what I'm trying to suggest, I'm testing out, is it possible that the Vahoyu is already saying, already part of that second part. The only problem is Libi, Vachetzi. Einai is what, in the way we understood it from Rashi and Yonason, is what Hashem will do, whereas Libi is what the people will do. So it's that smooth. I was going to try to test out an idea that, you Einai will be Shom Kol Hayomim, under what conditions? Only if the condition of Pasuk Dalet is followed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and I will be Shom Kol Hayomim if Kelech Lefonai. It still does not, I admit, fit the way we parse Einai V'Libi.
Right.
I'm still rough.
Because the way the Pasuk reads in Pasuk Gimel, it sounds unconditional. Then the next two Pesukim do indeed set up a condition. If you behave yourselves and you go my way, I will then establish for you the Davidic dynasty. You'll have a man on the throne, always going to be from your family, etc., etc. That's what God says. I get that.
But that's a condition for something totally different.
Right. I'm going with you. I exactly agree with you. That's something else entirely. I want to talk about Shechina and Yom HaRabayit.
We didn't finish the week.
I thought we did.
You call it Yamin, you mean?
You mean, footnote.
Okay,
let's go back. The Radak, thank you. The Radak renders Pasuk Gimel, these words, and my providence and my will, that's how he's understanding. Ainai Velibi. For the Radak, Vayu Ainai Velibi Sham, shall always be there. Okay? And my providence and my will always be there. The Malbim, and I think this is what you want me to read out, the Malbim explains, here's the footnote, saying the Malbim, that Shlomo, says the Malbim, had prayed that the Shekhinah rest in his Beis HaMikdash. To this, the Almighty replied, Lasum Shemi Sham Ad Olam, to place my name there forever. That was Shlomo's desire. So all Hashem is saying over there is, Shlomo, your articulated desire was that I should place my name in the temple ad olam forever. You know what, Shlomo? Well, I, Shmuel Plotzker, say, You know what, Shlomo? God's not innocent. My theory. I'm going to do it. Okay, let's see what the Malbim says. He had made a petition. Shlomo petitioned that God accept the prayers of all Jews who pray in the Beis HaMikdash. To this, Hashem replied, "My heart and my eyes shall be there at all times." So going with the Malbim's understanding, Shlomo Davin, Hashem, have mercy on us. We're going to have millions of Jews over the course of centuries and centuries and centuries praying in the Beis HaMikdash and, you know, facing the Beis HaMikdash, but certainly during the 400 plus years of my temple, there are going to be many, many Jewish people davening over there. Please let your Shechina rest in this temple. Yes, that's my hope, that you'll assume Shimcha Sham Kolal Adolam. I want to place your name in my temple forever. So Hashem says, okay, I'll do that. My heart and my eyes will be there all the time. You wanted me to be there all the time? I'll be there all the time. So Hashem takes Shlomo up on his request, and he grants it.
Right.
You like?
Anybody who's praying there, you're praying towards there, that's where he's focused to accept that prayers.
Right. Right. So Hashem is accepting Shlomo's petition, and he's granting it. You want me to be here with my Shechina? I'm going to be here. My eyes are going to be looking at the people. My heart, I would think that my heart meaning my love for the Jewish people, but it doesn't seem to be where many of the Parshanim are going. Citing the Targum, we're going from the idea of God's heart, very anthropomorphic idea, to Hashem's will. You do my will, everything's going to be A-okay. All right. I would have thought that Hashem is showing with the word lev that my love for the Jewish people is going to be evident over there. But nobody's following me. Nobody's taking me up on that, so I'm going to just quash it, I guess. But, okay, Hashem is granting Shlomo's request.
Right. And my doc says that his providence and his will always be.
Shechina is always going to be there. My providence and my will always be there. That's not even conditional, it seems. According to the Radak, always going to be there. Because Hashem says, V'libi, ain't I V'libi, Shem Kala Yamim. And that's what that's what he means.
Eretz Yisrael.
Right. Okay. So there's no condition. Hashem seems to be granting it completely, according to this. Wow. All right. As opposed to the rabbis that we saw in the Gemara just earlier, where there's the opinion that some of the Shechina or much of the Shechina departed with the Churban, but some little bit remains, so out of that little bit you have to show respect and you have to act accordingly, but most of the Shechina checked out. I don't get the impression from the Radak that most of the Shechina left the Har HaBayit as a result of the destruction.
We cannot confine Hashem.
True.
So we have that he's in Eretz Yisrael, he's looking over Eretz Yisrael, he's taking care of Eretz Yisrael, but at the same time, we also have that he goes in Galus with us.
Yeah. Well, again, in terms of not confining, that refers to Hashem Ein Sof, you know, the ultimate sense, but there's the Shechina. The Shechina is usually taken to not refer to Hashem as absolute being, but to a certain divine presence, you know, that interacts
right,
with us.
But,
that
but,
can be confined.
But it can also be diffused if he so desires.
Right. But which way is it? Right. You have to narrow reference, you know. It's true.
I mean, because we do have within our tradition both
that
he is focused on Eretz Yisrael, but he also leaves and goes with us as well. He doesn't desert us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hashem himself is doing that action. Shav the kibetz. He's returning. Shkarach to both. So we see Pasuk Dalet. Are we allowed to go forward into this? I mean, because have I seen enough? Have we hacked it around enough?
Yeah, we finished.
Okay. Sure, why not? You're welcome. Pasuk Dalet. Ve'ata. And you. This is God speaking to Shlomo. Im teilech lefanai kasher halach David avicha. V'tom levav uv'yosha. La'asas kecholo shetzi v'yisicha. Wow, that's some fact. And so now you, if you will walk, if you'll go before me the way that your father David went, b'tom levav, with the whole heart, u'v'yosher, and straightness, uprightness, la'asos k'chol ha'shet tzivi sicha, to do everything that I commanded you, chukai u'mishpatai tishmor. Oh, those words are now suddenly, they're in action. Those three last words of this pasuk are in play, because you could theoretically translate them simply. You're going to do everything that your father did, everything I commanded you, chukai u'mishpatai tishmor, to do my chukim and my mishpatim. Okay, maybe you can catch it like that. But what some of the parshanim are going to say, no. Those three words are not exactly crafted like that. They're crafted differently. Chukai u'mishpatai tishmor. My chukim and my mishpatim, you will do. It's going to happen that as a result of you walking in the proper way, you walking in the proper way of the Almighty, then the reward will be that you will be blessed. You will be blessed by God to have the schus to keep the chukim and the mishpatim. That's going to be your reward. If you do everything right, then you're going to have a reward. What's the reward? To keep on doing everything right. That is a way, that's a mahalach over here. Let's go see it. Let's go see Pasuk Dalet. The Tom Levav, wholeheartedly, on page 105, start wrapping it up, wholeheartedly, that is, performing the mitzvahs with a perfect heart, with no other motives. That's Tom Levav. You're just doing it because Hashem said so. And with upright, it will be yosher. What's pshat that? What's pshat yosher? Uprightness. That is, with perfect faith, not tainted by false philosophies. Now you see the words, kasher, kasher, 1 second, chukai mishpatai tishmor. To do all that I have instructed you, all positive commandments, okay, lasas kachol hashet tzivi sicha, to do all that I have instructed you, do all the assays, all the positive commandments, and you will keep chukai mishpatai tishmor, you will keep all the negative commandments. According to the Malbim, that last phrase, chukai mishpatai tishmor, means you're going to keep all the also the law, and you're going to make sure that you don't transgress the prohibitions. Wrapping it up, since Shlomo had prayed for the continuity of his kingdom and for the dwelling of the Shechina in the temple which he had built, Hashem replied that the continuity of the Davidic dynasty was dependent on his merits. Shlomo, going to look at you. Are you going to keep what you got to keep? The pasuk commences, therefore, with the words, as for you, viata, and as for you, if you will go before me, then I'm going to establish. Then I'm going to have hakimosis, tisei mamlach. That's the next pasuk. If you behave yourself, then pasuk 5, I will establish the throne of your kingdom. So says the Abarbanel. Shlomo is asking for a lot. Hashem says, I'm willing to give it. But now there's a condition over here. So I think Rabbi Rill said it earlier, and I guess we're going to go along with it. According to the Abarbanel, there is a big condition. I'm going to do what I got to do, says God, but you better keep what you got to keep. Then I'll do mine. Continuing.
Except that is not referring to what we had in verse 3, it's referring to the divinic, establishing the divinic dynasty.
Right. But according to the Abarbanel,
yeah.
since Shlomo had prayed for the continuity of his kingdom, but also and for the dwelling of the Shekhinah and the temple he had built, Hashem replied that it's dependent on his merits. So read Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, in the light of verse 4, according to Abarbanel.
No. That's what he prayed for, but Hashem replied that the continuity of the dynasty was dependent on his merits. It says nothing about the other.
That's a good point, too. There you make a good point. What happened to that? What happened to the Shekhinah request?
That's forever.
That's forever. Uh-huh. Okay. Mrs. Bill is really reading much better than I was reading. She says, Hashem is asking for continuity of kingdom and Shekhinah forever. Hashem says, in verse 3, Shekhinah, yes, fine, forever. Now you want continuity of the Malchus? Oh, that's going to be up to you. I'm not. How can I be bound by anything? I'm not going to bind myself, says God. If you're going to misbehave, you're going to get punished. If you're going to behave, everything will be fine. I like what you read. Good. And we'll finish up over here, quoting down a Kliyaka, and you will keep my statutes and my laws. The word and is missing from the text. It says chukai u'mishpatai tishmor. It doesn't say v'chukai u'mishpatai tishmor. It's missing the letter vav. The word and is missing in this last three-word phrase. You will keep my statutes and my laws. The word and is missing from the text. It may therefore be understood as a promise. If you go before me, b'tom levav, and pasuk dalet, if you go before me wholeheartedly, you will keep my statutes and my laws. That is to say, if you strive to go before me wholeheartedly, I promise you, says God to Shlomo, that each mitzvah will bring to another mitzvah until you will most assuredly keep all my chukim and all my mishpatim.
Who says that?
Kliyaka is saying that. Yeah, and that's the pshat according to the Kliyaka on the last three words. It's going to be a mitzvah gereris mitzvah kind of a thing. Chukai, if you keep everything I tell you to keep, then you know what? Chukai mishpatai tishmor. You're going to wind up keeping my chukim and mishpatim. And you're saying, what's the chiddush? The answer is, it's a big chiddush. Because mitzvah gereris mitzvah, by doing one mitzvah, he's going to be pulled to do another one, then another one, and he's going to wind up keeping kol Torah kula, and that's going to be his reward. That by doing one mitzvah, he'll be given another chance, another one, and fulfill chukai u'mishpatai tishmor. So if you keep Shlomo, if you do what you got to do, if you go b'tom levav and yosher, and you do lasas k'chol ha'shev t'visicha, you're going to have a reward. You'll have a lifetime of mitzvahs. That's a chiddush too. It is. And that, my friends, ends Pasuk Dalet. And we are at that time of night. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, we did something. Gimel and Dalet. Next week we should be on, I hope. Tuesday night should be no problem. Next week, Wednesday, is Tanis Esther. But that's going to start, I would think, in the morning sometime. So Tuesday night should not interfere. We should be able, theoretically, to be able to learn a little bit the night before. I thank you both, Rabbi Mr. Bill, for coming out. Zeitz Gesund, have a good rest of the week. Signing off now. Thank everybody for showing up tonight. Have a successful and good Shabbos.